Good morning, friends. Welcome to worship. Today, let's declare who God is. Let's declare together what He's done. Let's declare together what He's promised He will do. So together, let's lift our hearts and our voices to the Lord.
Dear Lord, we come to You this morning with heartfelt praise for bringing us together for worship and to sing songs in Your honor. We praise You for the talents You have gifted to our church's musical ensemble. We praise You for the changing season as we experience the beauty around us and the vast and intricate design of Your creation. O Lord, we ask You that You help us open our eyes and see Your glory in our daily lives. Forgive us when we lose focus on You and turn away. Let us not be caught up in too much busyness and overscheduled days. Help us use our time wisely and make it a priority every day of the week to be still in Your presence and study Your word with open minds and hearts to enable us to reflect who You are, our Lord and Savior. Today we pray to lift up those who are struggling with physical or mental health concerns. We ask for healing. We pray for those who are alone or in difficult relationships. We ask for strength, courage, and hope. And for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, we ask for comfort. We think of our world and the upcoming election. Guide us as we discern Your will in this. We ask for wisdom for our leaders. We pray for the safety of everyone affected by Hurricane Matthew, especially for the severe devastation and losses suffered in Haiti. We pray for the children wounded or orphaned by disasters and war. We pray for our denomination and for missions going around the world in Your name, Lord Jesus, to help those in need. Let us not forget the people in our own community who need help or encouragement. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to humble ourselves, to offer our spiritual gifts, our time and resources, to lend a helping hand and spread Your good news. We know You are the beginning and the end, and that one day there will be no more suffering, no more death, no more tears. O Lord, so loving and generous, we are confident that You have a greater plan than any of us can imagine. No matter what our age, we come to You in faith as Your children. And we pray the prayer You taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, church. Such an honor to see everyone on such a wonderful Sunday morning. And we're going to open up with today's morning Bible verses. If you have one of these, please turn to Exodus 20, verse 1. If not, you can cheat and look at the screen behind me. All right, verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall work and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Awesome. In the second verse, I would like you guys to turn to, or, you know, again, cheat. It's going to be Exodus 5, verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. All right. Thank you so much, church, and please welcome Pastor Kim.
Great job, thank you. Okay, well, this is a device that measures time, and I had our youth measure the time that this takes to glob down, and it's 10 minutes. So this means that halfway through the sermon, I have to turn it over, and if I go over, you can tell me, it stop, you're going too long, okay? So if I have to turn it over more than once. But today, I have this here because we're talking about time. And you have in your bulletin this little laminated card. If you'd like to take it out and look at it, I put on here some really salient scriptures about time. It's all about being aware that time is a gift and how important it is to use our time wisely. But the place that I really want to focus this morning is the last scripture on the back of the card that Carlin just read to you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So I'm going to be talking about that. One of the first things that I taught my kids when they were learning to drive, it's not one of the first things, actually the first thing that I taught them, is where the brake pedal was. I said, that's the brake pedal, and use it liberally and often. It was a selfish thing that I did because I wanted to live. And it paid off because after teaching this lesson, there's the brake pedal, to my third child, he got in the car and he buckled himself in and forgot that the car was in reverse and not and so he instead of going forward where he was supposed to, he backed up, careened, backed out of the driveway and missed hitting our neighbor's car, which was parked across the street by just a hair. I was so glad that I had given him the lesson first, that was the brake pedal. He knew where that brake pedal was, and he saved our lives, all right? He had mastered the art of stopping. It's worked for me anyway. But I think as a culture, sometimes we have lost that art of being able to stop. We've lost the art of being able to stop. And literally, friends, it can save our lives. It can save our lives when we learn how to stop. There's an old country song whose chorus lyrics go this way. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I just rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. I don't know the tune to that song. Does anybody know it? Okay, well, sorry. Anyway, I found those lyrics, but I'm sure some of us have felt like that, that you're just rushing, and you have too much to do. Taking the kids to school, getting the project at work done, going to the meeting at church, getting the car fixed, perhaps taking care of an elderly loved one from dawn to dusk, going to the doctor, coming back from the doctor, going to the grocery store. It's just endless. You know, and the best word in the English language at times like these is rest, right? Rest. And some of you might be thinking, rest, it sounds so wonderful, so refreshing. How cruel, how sadistic of you to even mention it. I can't possibly rest. I have way too much to do. What would happen if I rested? My goodness, everything would fall apart. Everything. Now, might I gently remind you and myself that stopping and resting is indeed one of the Ten Commandments. And we seem to have forgotten that one. Hebrew time was divided into cycles of seven. Every seventh day was meant to be a Sabbath day, a day of rest. Every seventh year was meant to be a sabbatical year, a year of rest. And after seven cycles of seven sabbatical years, that is, in the 50th year, there was supposed to be a year of Jubilee. And in that year, all the debts were canceled, slaves were set free, all property was returned to its original owners, and everyone took the year off. How cool is that? You weren't supposed to work, you were supposed to rest. The Jubilee year was a time to give freedom to the oppressed, give back to the poor, and give rest, rest to the weary. I think that to observe Sabbath rest is one of the most countercultural, radical things that we can do in our society today. Between work, kids, school, church activities, civic organizations, we're slammed. And you retired people, I think you're busier than any of us with all kinds of family obligations and volunteer obligations, on and on. Now, before I go any further here, I need to confess up front that on this topic, I totally struggle. I really do. I work a lot of hours every week. Sometimes I don't take a day off, and I'm always rushing to the next thing. I do this. Why do you think I talk so fast? You know, I'm trying to cram everything in. Part of it is that there's a lot to get done in ministry. I've got to get going. And like all of you, if I don't get those things done, there are some real consequences to be paid. But there's also something less noble about my busyness. There's something about telling people how busy I am that makes me feel important. It kind of puffs me up. Busyness is like a status symbol, isn't it? I like to talk about how I couldn't possibly slow down because so much depends on me. So I complain about being busy, but what I am really doing is bragging, which is kind of strange if you think about it, because observing the Sabbath is one of God's main commandments, number 4 on the top 10 list. And while we would never brag about breaking any of the other 9, we'll boast about breaking the 4th commandment all the time. Let me demonstrate. If someone asks you how you're doing, what's a common response? Well, I'm so busy, I haven't had a day off in weeks. But you would never say, oh, I'm just making a couple of graven images and killed a couple of people too, but other than that, there's not much going on. We never brag about breaking the other 9 commandments, but we brag all the time about breaking the 4th one and are proud of it. And what do we get for all our busyness, folks? Stress, pressure, fear, high blood pressure, and loneliness too, because we don't have time to make any real relationships. And friends, our kids are following suit. We're stressing them out along with us. Carlin sent me an article last week. Starts like this. A popular and accomplished Los Altos High School student received a parent's text message at school last year to come home to talk about her grades. The student and star athlete had earned all A's except one D. When she got this text message, she asked to be excused from English class to go to the bathroom, but she never returned. She had collapsed, suffering a disabling emotional breakdown. Now, educators are seeing more and more students suffering from depression, anxiety, and social phobia. The acuity of mental illness among students has sharpened, they say, and it's striking even younger children all the time though many quietly bear the stress for years before snapping. So friends, we need to take that fourth commandment seriously. A colleague of mine has a mug that reads, "Remember the Ten Commandments, they are not multiple choice." Now, I want you to understand something so cool about this fourth commandment. For the Israelites, the Sabbath commandment was truly a life-changing gift. It meant for the Israelites that they were a free people. Because remember, they were enslaved in Egypt and they never got a day off. Right? They worked every single day while living under Pharaoh's rule. Their lives were completely focused on how much work they produced 7 days a week. Living such an existence in bondage, in fear of the whip, right, did not give them time to reflect on the purpose of life or to enjoy leisure. They were too pressured. Their lives depended on reaching the next quota or assignment. Their lives had no value beyond their economic value to their slave masters. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? It's a different day, a different culture, but often we sound enslaved to our work or the tasks that are our responsibilities at home, in the community, maybe even in the church. We are enslaved to the regimen of school, to grades, to performance, fearful that we might not get everything done perfectly. And working harder and longer hours seems to have become the way to prove our worth. So even after the formal work week ends, we continue at home in the evenings or weekends. The idea to STOP, stop the work, worry, and anxiety, is not part of our thought process. And all the time, God is trying to get our attention. You are my child. Your value is in me. You are a slave to no one. I have set you free. Live as a free person in me. Don't go back into bondage. Honor the Sabbath. Take time to rest. I will be your God, and you will be my people, precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. The Sabbath is a time to enjoy God and each other, to discover patterns of living that will endure throughout our lives and give us pleasure and connection with God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a time to rest. It's a time for refreshment, for renewal, and relationships. We are slaves of no one. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God who sets us free. God's a God of freedom. So give it a rest, friends. God has bigger dreams for us than slavery and bondage. And that's why he says take at least one full day off every week. And that's why he instituted the year of Jubilee, hoping that at least once every 50 years, folks would slow down and slow down for a whole year so we can connect with God, slow down so that we can build a real friendship with someone, slow down so that we can have a time to serve God and serve others in a way that brings us joy and connects us to things that are eternal. And I know you're sitting there saying, but, how can I possibly slow down? How can I possibly rest? I have so much to do. And the bottom line of it is this. We have got to trust God to take care of us. I think one reason that we're so busy all the time is deep down we don't really believe that God is perfectly capable of taking care of us and everything else that we're worried about. Think about the year of Jubilee. The farmers, that agrarian community, had to allow their fields to lie fallow for a whole year. Any savvy business person would say, you know, think of all the revenue you're losing. You're not planting any crops. You're losing out. And the people at that time had to trust God to provide. See, we're afraid if we slow down, everything's going to fall apart. The boss is going to be unhappy. The friends are going to be unhappy. The kids will freak out. We'll never make it in the world, get into the right school. We'll look weak or lazy. And the question Sabbath asks is, do you trust that God's work is sufficient to take care of you and to get you where he wants you to be, where God wants you to be? Maybe not where you want to be, but get you where He wants you to be. God's work is sufficient. If you believe that, find that brake pedal. Stop. Take the rest and be renewed. This is why God Himself rests on the seventh day. It's not because God's tired and say, whoa, that really took a lot out of me. I'm going to have to rest. No. God rests on the seventh day because His work is complete. It is sufficient. It's all that it needs to be. God Himself does not show up at the office every day, 7 days a week. Why do we think we have to? Sabbath means trusting God that if we take time off, either one of two things will happen. Either God will get everything done that needs to be done, or what doesn't get done didn't need to get done in order for us to become and be who God wants us to be. Okay? Give it up. Stop being a slave. Live in freedom. Honor the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath. At session, in our session meetings, we've been challenged in our elder leadership training process to stop business for the first 45 minutes and simply listen to one of our members on session share their spiritual journey. And we've gotten to know each other that way. And at first, it's like, this is impractical. We have so much to do. But it's funny because at the end of that, we have plenty of time to get the business done. And we're actually growing together as a community of faith now, knowing how God has worked in each of our lives, and it's creating a whole different vibe on session. God always provides us enough time to get the business done. When we act upon the principle that God is able to provide for us, Jehovah Jireh is the phrase in the Old Testament that means God is provider, God provides. When we act on this and not just believe it in our heads, but really act as if God is sufficient, we find rest and joy because we become people who regularly rise above the ordinary, frazzled, and harried world and connect to what is eternal. Scott Dudley was a colleague of mine at Menlo Park Presbyterian, and we had both gone to Princeton Seminary, so we had that in common. And he shared a story about a colleague of his who also was at Princeton, and this woman was studying for her PhD defense. She was married, she had kids, but she decided that even though all this was going on, she was going to observe the Sabbath. Six-sevenths of her time she was going to devote to studying and one-seventh to Sabbath, to eternal things like worship, family, friendships, and serving God and serving others. And of course, all the other Princetonians who were doing their PhD said, no, you can't do that. Such a thing is definitely contraindicated at a place like Princeton. No, it would be terrible. You have to study 7 days a week. But she did it anyway. Well, finally the day of her exam came, and she really blew the exam. She did a terrible job. It was a disaster. So after she was done, the committee asked her to step out of the room while they decided whether or not they were going to pass her. She waited for an hour, which is a very long time, by the way, and finally her advisor came out and said, "That was terrible. You did a terrible job. You barely passed." She said, I know it. I should have worked harder. And her advisor said, yeah, you know, you might want to think about that because you know what we call people around here who barely pass their PhD defense, don't you? And she said, no, what do you call them? And he said, doctor. Congratulations, doctor. And today she teaches in a university doing exactly what God called her to do. So friends, how much is enough? God's work was sufficient to get her where she needed to be, and because she acted as if that was true, not just believed it, but acted as if that were true, she got rest and got to invest her life in eternal things. 1 week ago, this past Friday, I was reminded of the importance of Sabbath rest for myself. At the invitation of a friend, I spent 8 hours at a pastor's soul care retreat, and it was a renewing time for me. I struggled, man, with taking that time off. Friday, it was on a Friday, and usually Friday is my sermon writing day. But I did the sermon for last Sunday ahead of time. I crammed it into the week, into a crazy week. I made that intentional choice, though, even though it was hard. And when I arrived at that retreat, I was so grateful to be there, so grateful. And I was convicted of my own resistance to taking the time I needed for renewal, for prayer, for fellowship, how important that is. And Trevor Hudson spoke to us there. He's a pastor from South Africa, written some wonderful books, by the way, about tending the pastor's soul, staying young and joy-filled, open to the Holy Spirit, and putting first things first in our life, spending our time wisely and intentionally seeking renewal so we don't burn out. It was a wonderful time for me. So friends, let's not be slaves to the whip of our culture. The sun does not rise and set on our Herculean efforts to carry the world on our shoulders. The Messiah has already come, and we are not him as much as we try to be. Let's use our time wisely. I forgot to turn this over. There you go. Let's use our time wisely. Let's prioritize and do what is most important. And let's stop breaking that fourth commandment. The challenge for this week, guess what it is? You know. Take one day and practice Sabbath rest. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are reminded this morning that in quietness and rest shall be our strength. Lord, forgive us for thinking that we are indispensable. Only you, O God, are indispensable. We fall on your mercy. We fall on your grace. May we take the rest we need to commune with you and with others so that our joy might be complete. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us in worship this morning. We have prayers who will be down here. Sharon, are you a prayer this morning? Yes, yeah, so Sharon is here to pray for you along with Frank. So if you have prayer concerns, please go to them after the service. They'll be happy to pray with you. Just a reminder, next week is our healing service after this service, so please come with any concerns that you have to that. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and may he grant you peace and joy in the week ahead. May he grant you Sabbath rest, and may you know his presence in a deep and powerful way. Amen.